This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that leads the show are: can Zuckerberg be fired over data mismanagement? Municipal broadband to the rescue of net neutrality. What do Facebook and Google really know about you? And the telecom lobby is going to go to war with states over their implementation of net neutrality. All that, plus the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1270 of Geek News Central for Thursday, March 29th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com, and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider, or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana Store. Hey, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the brand new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, if you're an existing subscriber, part of the Ohana, thanks for staying tuned to the show. Thanks for staying subscribed, whether you be a listener or a viewer. But for those of you that are brand new, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over on the website, really just get subscribed to the show. And it's real simple. On the right-hand column of the website, you'll see there places subscribe via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, RSS feed, and coming very well, we're on Spotify, but the link will be there to be able to get access to the show on Spotify. Or an RSS feed, just to use it old school. Use a podcatcher. Or just click on the more subscribe options if you have no idea what I'm talking about. Of course, you can cruise through the site and take a look at all the great content. You can even listen to the older podcasts that are on the website. But subscribing guarantees you'll get everything delivered directly to your mobile device on a regular basis. Of course, subscribe to the newsletter as well. You'll find that on the front page of the website. The newsletter contains everything that I talk about during the show. And basically, all the links to all the articles are there. So you can follow along or just click through and see stuff as you want to. Hey, again, thanks to all longtime listeners for being here and being part of the family. Don't forget, when we're live at geeknewscentral.com. We're on Facebook as well, on my page. We're also on YouTube Live. If you have comments on today's show, it's real simple. geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. If you're part of the Ohana here, join the Slack channel. Join the Geek News Central Slack channel by sending me an email. Or, of course, you can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku TV via the Tech Podcast channel, or on the Apple TV, just search for Geek News Central. You can listen or watch, doesn't matter. You can listen on all kinds of smart home devices, whether it be the Amazon Echo, whether it be the Google Home, whether it be the Cortana device. All those devices will play this podcast. All you have to do is to tell it to play the podcast Geek News Central. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher, watch review.
I don't know the answer to that one yet.
You can listen on Stitcher. You can watch or view on blueberry.com. Of course, there's lots of ways to tune in. All of them are available, again, on how to do that via geeknewscentral.com. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site being written by my GNC team. We've got the new media show with co-hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, and the Podcast Legends Show. This show is sponsored, of course, by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And hey, Robert, welcome to the show. Just saw your note there on Facebook. But hey, GoDaddy is really what allows me to keep the lights on here in a big, 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 big way. So we're coming down to the end of the month here, and it looks like we've had a pretty good month. So if you're on the fence and thinking about doing something, wait to April 1st. Anybody, you know, it doesn't matter when you pick up a GoDaddy product or service. Any time is fine. But geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is where all the codes are. And we'll be updating the website in a few days so that we get the new Google index and everything. But whether it be 30% off new product purchases at GoDaddy, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, whether it be a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Again, 12 bucks gets you going there. It's an amazing deal. For your business owner, 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. And I heard something amazing. There was an email sent to me that said, look at this. And basically, GoDaddy made an announcement that they're going to move the majority of their hosting and infrastructure is going to get migrated to the cloud over at Amazon. They partnered with Amazon. And so over the next, I don't know what the time frame is here, but ultimately, if you have sites currently on GoDaddy, they're going to be moved into the cloud at Amazon. I think this is pretty exciting. They're partnered with Amazon. Amazon does hardware, does data. GoDaddy builds great services. So I think it's a great combination. Time will tell how that transition goes and what new products are going to come to the market. I saw some sort of announcement on a WordPress Pro package that's coming. So I'm trying to get information on that, trying to get a discount code for you. But really, things are moving. There's a changing with the times. I guess that's the best. All the domain management is going to remain internal to GoDaddy. They're not going to do any external sending it over to Amazon. That's all going to be managed in-house. As you can imagine, it's a big part of their business. But it makes sense to me, if you think about it, you let someone else take care of the hardware and you just build the services around it. Doesn't matter. That's what we do at Blueberry. We don't manage any hardware. That would be insane in this day and age. But let someone else take care of the hardware, the upgrades, we just rent time, on those machines at Amazon. And I have a big infrastructure, 40, 50 servers. So that all, just runs in the cloud. But for most of us, all we need is a website, a little WordPress, managed WordPress hosting, or a little economy hosting site. We don't need all this fancy stuff. And this is where GoDaddy comes in, and you can save big by using my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/. Make sure you go to the website, click or copy the code, and that'll get you locked in, all right? Okay, so let me go ahead and bada bing, bada boom, bada bing, bada boom. Let me come back to my notes. And if you're watching either online, and that's another thing too. If you're on the live.geeknewscentral site, there is a chat room there. So you can say hello within the chat room. You can just, say hi. I can, I'll watch that. As I mentioned in the last show, if you're watching live, it's hard for me to keep track of the comments. If the comments really start coming in, so just be aware of that. I do have a confession to make tonight. You guys know since I started working out that I've tried not to, I don't drink Red Bull at all, but I switched to a Melaleuca product that was basically an energy boost. And it's, probably mostly a caffeine shot, But about 15 minutes before I started the show tonight, I just, after getting prep and getting read through the articles that Kirk, our executive producer, had got slated up for me and checked for some additional stuff, I walked out in the living room. I told my wife, I said, I'm dragging. Have we got any of those energy shots left? And she says, yeah, there's some in the drawer. And I went to the drawer and found one. And so what it means is I'm going to have a runny nose. It's just the way it works. When I do one of those, it's this nostril meet, and I already noticed it. So my right nostril will start running. But part of it is the workouts have been massive. I've got a goal, not only a weight goal, but a workout goal to on the elliptical to get to 7 miles in 65 minutes. And I'm at about 6.92. I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I'm going to get to 7 miles in 65 minutes on the cross trainer. I cranked as just about as hard as I possibly could today, and maintaining my workout level, heartbeat rate where I need it to be and all that. But the workouts have been great. I think I'm putting on muscle mass. That's maybe why the weight has been going down. Oh, hey, Rob. Maybe not the Rob you're looking for. So just someone just popped into the live chat on live.geeknewscentral.com. But cool. So thanks for being here. So anyway, a really, 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 really good workout today. And that's part of the reason I'm in here like my butt dragging. But I'm happy my NAB prep is done. Next week, we have one more article coming out at powerpresspodcast.com. We did our mailings today. We reached out. I mean, it was this. Today was like this big blast, blast of information that went out. And so dealing with emails coming in today from radio executives and educators and church leaders and everyone wanting to say, hey, we want to book time. So we've been scrambling to get that, you know, the onslaught of those folks' reply. So I think our marketing message worked real good. But I put something kind of funny in Facebook earlier today, if you haven't seen it. And I can't show you yet but you guys are going to be excited. The first day of NAB, I'm going to take some pictures of some things and put them on Facebook and on social media. You'll get to see what our handouts are up. But I kind of hinted a little bit about it today on this evening on Facebook. I basically said, are you a serial killer? And I'll leave it at that. But I'll let you guys kind of think about it a little bit. But it's part of our, and there's a link to an article. And then, but I'll just, we'll leave it there and let you guys have a little bit of a, what kind of a marketing plan do they have around, are you a serial killer? So anyway, I think it's pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited about showing it to you guys in just about a week. So just so I do want to give you an update on travel plans and what's going on here. And Kirk, if you're listening, I don't know if we've directly talked about this, but the plan is I fly out of here a week from Friday. So I fly out on April 6th and I get into Vegas. Let's see, am I looking at the right calendar? let's move over here. Yeah. So I fly out on April 6th, get into Vegas the morning of the 7th. We immediately go into getting our booth set up and all that. The show starts on Monday the 9th. 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th is the show. I have a little bit of downtime on the 13th as we get stuff packed up and shipped back. And then I fly back to Honolulu on the 14th. I do an immediate turnaround and I'm back out. For 3 weeks, I'm heading out to the East Coast, multi-city tour. So anyway, so that goes down. So Kirk, I'll be good to do the show on Monday the 16th. I might be a zombie, but the 16th I'll be good. But I will need you to cover the show on the Monday the 9th and Thursday the 12th if you're up for it. So let me know. But we'll let Kirk do his third and fourth episode. And I think that's going to be his third and fourth, or maybe it's fourth and fifth. But anyway, we look forward to having Kirk step in while I'm out. But I'll be on the road all the way up until May 6th when I fly back to Honolulu. And then I'll be home just about a week, maybe two. And then I'll be back in, I have to go to Columbus. So I got to go meet with the Ravois team. So I'll probably fly out like the 17th of May, something like that. So travel is starting, but the show will continue. So just gives you guys a little heads up of what the schedule is going to be for me for the next month or so. But busy week. Your podcast gets recorded in the morning. And so Rob says, oh, come on, Todd. I've been trolling. I've been a big fan. I emailed you about April Fools in 2010 when you claimed that you were closing up shop. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I think I made an April Fool that Apple bought us or something like that. Pre-LED bulbs and solar panels during the Dave the Trucker days. All right. Outstanding. Thanks for being still part of the Ohana. Man, you've been around a while, dude. So that makes you one of the early ones. So thank you so much. So again, Mike Dell and I record your podcast in the morning. It's a podcast him and I do at PowerPressPodcast.com. I get to meet with the accountant on personal taxes tomorrow. I know what my tax bill is. those of you watching, you can read between the middle lines, but that's my sign to the IRS. I knew I was going to have to pay this year. I knew. And partly it was my wife's fault. Her withholding is wrong on her income. So we have to pay her taxes. I paid my taxes. Now we have to pay her taxes. I'm going to help kids with the taxes this weekend. And then, but I do want to mention one thing. Last show, we had a listener come on that was in the chat room that was pinging me quite a bit. And I may have gotten a little testy with him. I apologize for that. But it was, you're not responding to me. And as I said at the end of the last show, I really can't watch the chat super close. I can watch a little bit and, you know, basically do a microsecond glance at it. But, just like... Rob here with Reality Bite in the live.geekandcentral.com chat room. I can go over and see that. But on Facebook, when I get more than three or four comments, it goes off the page. Also, the number of comments from business owners on my discussion about GDPR last week. And here's the thing that amazed me. Todd, don't use my name. don't use my name on the show. And I was like, whoa, I touched a nerve. I touched a nerve because there's some of you that had no idea what I was talking about. Absolutely no idea. And really kind of was shocked about it. Now, I'm going to read an email from one of our listeners that... from Greg. He says, and I usually do this at the end of the show, but I wanted to do it at the beginning. And there's a couple of things I want to address. He says, I don't understand how laws in other countries can apply to Americans who don't have a business presence in those countries. It's a good thing that I don't have a business because I'd be tempted to skip all the work that you're going through to comply. I just redirect all EU IP addresses to a web page saying that because of the GDPR, our website is not available in your country. Thanks for your show. Now, we love our European Union customers, but boy, if I had a choice. So it's just a thing, and but it's painful. It really, really is. And so anyway, thank you for a large number of business owners. Like, do I have to do this? Am I have to comply? And yes. Read this. Yes. It's significant. And, you can stick your head in the sand. That might work for a little while, but I just am afraid there's going to be companies and firms in the EU are they just chomping at the bit to litigate and go after US-based companies. I just have a feeling I might be wrong. And as Andrew said in one of our writers, he's in the UK, and he said, we've been living with much more strict privacy rules for a long time already. So for us, this step to GDPR was not that big of a deal. It was a little jump. And he kind of described to me that, you know, he works in a field where he works with a lot of super sensitive data, and just misplacing a paper on a table or not doing the right thing with that media is instant firing in the UK. HIPAA laws here in the United States are pretty strong as well, and people can get terminated for violating HIPAA stuff as well when it comes to medical. But this is a whole different level, and I'll keep you guys advised how things go with this process. But anyway, thanks for all the feedback on the GDPR, and I've had a chance to breathe a little bit over the last couple of days, but still, you know, there's in our company's Slack channel every day, we're like telling our Barry, our legal. He says, can you look at this? What do we have to do on this to comply with GDPR? And he's just like, he's over it. He's like, stop. And I'm like, no, it's not going to stop. We need to make sure we hit every aspect of how we touch and where customers touch us and that interaction and all that. So it's nuts. All right, moving on here. So there's an article right in Engadget, and I kind of love this this photo. And for those of you watching, it's Mark Zuckerberg standing at the Harvard Alumni Association. Of course, I don't think Mark actually finished his degree, and he's holding out his hands. Maybe he did. I don't remember exactly, but, you know, who cares at this point, right? He's one of the richest men in America, or very rich. And he's got a big smile on his face, and he's built this Facebook empire, right? And it's entitled, Mark Zuckerberg Won't Lose His Job Anytime Soon. And you have to admit that lesser CEOs have fallen. You look at Uber co-founder Travis Kalanick was kicked out as reports of company sexist culture flooded the news. Equifax CEO and chairman Richard Smith decided to retire. That guy should have been locked up, in my opinion. You know, there's Elizabeth Holmes charged with fraud by the SEC, forced to give up control of her business and barred from serving as a leader of a public company for 10 years. There was even Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer, who couldn't keep her job during the Verizon acquisition, you know, following the security scandals over there. And, you know, actually, in the scheme of things, the Yahoo security breach was about 10 to 15 times worse in scope than this Facebook one. And we've been talking about the Facebook. It really wasn't a breach. It was a mishandling of data. But as Jack reminded me, and it's something that's been making the news, but you know, depends on which news you listen to, you may not hear this. And I had known about this as well. But, you know, there's this big outrage, of course, that they got this data, then that the Trump campaign was able to use it. But he says, Todd, you like almost all other news reporting outlets are one side. Do you remember in 2008, again in 2012, when Obama campaign was bragging about the superior data gathering and the use of big data to win the election? All the news media outlets and online reporting was how smart Obama was and his campaign staff to use big data to win. They even said where they got the data from, but nobody reported, complained, or objected. It was Facebook and RenTrak, which was the equivalent of Cambridge Analytica. Carol Davidson of RenTrak was on a panel shortly after Obama was elected describing how they won. As it turns out, Facebook gave RenTrak all the social data on every U.S. customer for their use to elect Obama because they agreed with him. There was no outrage, no lawsuit, no campaign election law violation investigation. I have attached a short audio file of Ms. Davidson bragging about it. This file courtesy of the No Agenda podcast. In 2013, Jim Messinas, Obama's campaign manager, did a discussion panel where he talked about using big data and Facebook LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google, I've included about a link to a 10-minute YouTube video of this panel. So Cambridge Analytica was not the first to use the Facebook data in an election campaign. They just learned how from the previous administration. He says, this is selective memory of the news media. It's true. It's true. So it is, Jack, I think from my perspective on this whole thing, I'm not outraged. I'm laughing at the fake outrage. Okay. I know some people are outraged. I'm not, but it's true. So I don't want to get political on the show, but there is no outrage for when Facebook just gave the mother load to the President Obama's team in 2008 and 2012. So it makes you go, huh? So is it even more fake outrage? Now the question is, in this audience, how many of you are hearing this information for the first time? I knew about this. This is not news to me, but I forget that the way the news is today, that this probably never makes it on the left-leaning channels, MSNBC, CNN. They probably never carry this information at all. So unless you go looking for it, you don't know it. Now, I don't want to do the job of the No Agenda show. Okay, I'll leave that to Adam and John C. Dvorak to do that. And I'm a big fan of that show. I've listened. Again, they're equal opportunity basher of everyone. They have a lot of fun with all politicians, geopolitical and everything. So if you want a show that it analyzes the news and what the news doesn't say, that's the podcast to listen to. But from my point of view, the fake outrage really goes back to you're right. Everyone knows this data is being shared. We've talked about this on the show a couple times already now. So it shouldn't come as a surprise. So it still surprises me when people are complaining about it. But going back to Zuckerberg, he's not going to get fired because even though he promised to give 99% of his stock to his wife's foundation, $45 billion worth, something to that effect. They did a transformation just as Google did to protect the founders. They created a new type of non-voting Class C stock that split every share for every stockholder into three distinct shares. A share worth $100 was transformed into three $33 shares, two of which were Class C, meaning they didn't carry any voting rights. So this allowed Zuckerberg to divest 99% of his shares without giving up control of the board. When Google did this in 2014, people were upset. So Sergey Brin and their shareholders weren't pleased with this plan. Just 12.7% voted to pass it. So Facebook drew ire from this in February of 17 as well. Or Sergey did this in 2014. So essentially what it is Zuckerberg still controls 87% of the Facebook voting shares. So unless he voluntarily steps down, Zuck's going nowhere. And so, you know, Rob, you're good on the show today, okay? Thanks for being here. So there's a lot of Robs in the podcasting space that I work with directly. Rob Walsh, Rob Greenlee, Rob McCracken. Yeah, there's a number of folks. But anyway, Zuck's not going anywhere. He's not getting fired. And you can't fire Zuck. All right, a little change of pace here. The ACLU saying that net neutrality can be saved with more local broadband. And, you know, I'm a big municipal broadband fan. I've been talking about that for years on the show. You guys know already that I've been a big supporter of this. But basically, the ACLU is saying that potential saver to net neutrality is your local municipal government if they make a public internet option. In other words, if they roll out their own internet service, competing for subscribers with the likes of telecommunications and cable companies. Well, most won't. Some can't because of state laws already. So that's a big battle, a big hill to climb. At the same time, the telecom lobby says we'll fight state efforts to protect net neutrality for a united and connected future. So the U.S. Telecom, a top lobbying firm of the telecom sector, and we've talked about this group before, which is primarily funded by AT&T, this week penned a blog post making it clear that major ISPs would fight tooth and nail against state efforts, gasp, to protect consumers from predatory telecom monopolies. This is like the, oh my God, it's like the fox, guarding a hen house. It is said, and now this is what they said. It is said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Nowhere can we find a more perfect modern example for this sentiment than in the cacophony of disparate calls by state and local regulators across the country, each seeking to pose their own brand of net neutrality regulations on consumers' internet experience. You know, let's really think about this. State-level net neutrality protections wouldn't exist if AT&T and U.S. Telecom hadn't sued to overturn the meaningful rules both in 2010 and 2015. Then prodded revolving door regulators to repeal the FCC extremely popular, modest, and consistent federal protections, according to the folks over at TechDirt. I know some of you don't like net neutrality. You've made that clear. But they go on to say, and this just blows me away here. Broadband providers, and this is what the telecom industry is saying. Broadband providers have worked hard over the past 20 years to deploy ever more sophisticated, faster and higher capacity networks and uphold net neutrality protections for all. You didn't like it. To continue this important work, there's no question we will aggressively challenge state or municipal attempts to fracture the federal regulatory structure that made all this progress possible. We'll also continue to work at the Congress to enact one consistent set of national and permanent consumer protections. All Americans deserve equal rights online. Standing up there for them means not merely saying no to state-level regulation, but hell no to the idea of dismantling what must be a united and connected future. They are worried. It takes an incredibly abundance of hubris to lobby and donate to government to kill extremely popular, uniform, and modest consumer protections. Then turn around and lecture people on the need for a united and connected future. They are worried about these net neutrality. And we got something a little later in our show about Comcast. They're saying, we can do a little something here, a little something there. They're hedging. They're trying to keep from the hammer from coming. But we'll see. But the telecoms, U.S. telecoms blog post only really serves two purposes. One, telecom lobbyists are signaling they fight any state that actually tries to protect consumers from anti-competitive behavior by telecom monopolies. But while the FCC included language in their net neutrality repeal attempting to ban states from protecting consumers from privacy or net neutrality, the repeal they lobby for leaves the FCC with shaky legal authority on that front. So, you know, here's the thing. State rights, you got to remember, there are states are allowed to set their own rules, laws. It's not supposed to preempt federal regulations. But what the FCC did and the way they revoked this and switched things around, there's maybe no real true law on the books per se that now can, you know, the Fed can override anything that is happening in a state. So we'll see where this one ends up. It's definitely going to end up in court because, you know, they've signaled that that's going to happen. It's going to be fun to watch, and it keeps net neutrality in the news. You know, here's a simple thing. We got to understand, too, that net neutrality in its form that was repealed wasn't even fully implemented and the rules weren't fully in place. So we never truly did experience a internet that was fully compliant with the previous net neutrality rules. All I care about is that I get to watch Netflix, YouTube, I get to be able to listen to my podcast, publish my podcast, and not be throttled and get the internet that I pay for at the speed that I pay for it. You know, that's the key. I don't want to be throttled. I don't want to content to be slowed down. You know, I paid for this. I want to get the service that I paid for without internet service provider intervention. They can do all the marketing they want, offer all kinds of free stuff. I don't care. That's a free market and that's how they'll compete. But I want the ability to be not have any of the stuff I use and my neighbor uses and you use to be, you know, if we click on Netflix and it sits there and spins because Netflix hasn't paid the troll toll, then that's a problem because I paid for the service so that I can watch the service that I want to. So we'll see where this goes. It's not over. Love to hear comments. geeknews@gmail.com. So there's an article at Newsweek saying what Facebook and Google really know about you. And, you know, laughable, in 2010, Zuckerberg declared that the age of privacy was over. You notice I say laughable? Because, again, it's true. We've known this for a while. In an interview with TechCrunch, a Facebook founder claimed that privacy was no longer a social norm. That came in contrast to his comments less than a year earlier, claiming Facebook could never share or sell a user's data or information to anyone beyond the person's contact. But we know that by 2010, as Jack has told us, they already had given all their data on all of us to the Obama election team. So, as the Federal Trade Commission begins its non-public investigation into the scandal, Newsweek explores how far the technology technicals of Facebook and its fellow Silicon Valley snoop Google actually reach. And they've got a pretty good piece here on what Google really knows about you. And you can get your data from Google and Facebook, and I encourage you to do so. But, you know, the tentacles reach pretty deep. It gives all the information. It basically includes all the pictures a person's ever uploaded to the social, all the messages they've sent and received, as well as other application linked to their Facebook accounts, everything that you've liked. It talks about your personal profile. It talks about your relationship status, education, employment, a hometown. Looking a little deeper, you notice Facebook is sort of each time you've logged into your account, noting your IP address, a time of device to use. There's something many technologies keep track of, often using it to target the users with specific adverts. Facebook has gathered a list of the perceived interests of a particular user based on every time we hit like. In an attempt to be open about the data clicks and stores from its users, Facebook includes instructions on its website for anyone wanting to download. I want you all to go download your data. Please, 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 please go download your data. Go get it. Take a couple hours, go through it. And then I want to hear send me an email. Now, Google is much more than just Google. You know, they've got their core business and it's separated from operations under the company Alphabet. But ignoring Alphabet's sister companies, Google alone has the ability to learn about almost every aspect of a user's life. Location history, their schedule, their interests, habits through Google Search, Google Play, your habits through Google Search and Google Play, not to mention correspondence through its Gmail email service. For example, any user that has not disabled their location history in Google Maps will be able to see everywhere they've been with their mobile device by clicking on a timeline, which has been used in lots of court cases for husbands and wives who've been going places and doing things with other individuals they shouldn't be. Google's main source of revenue, of course, is through online ads. So it creates advertising profiles on us. Not all of us care that they're collecting this information. But as the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden said in 2016, arguing that you don't care about the right to privacy because you have nothing to hide is no different than saying you don't care about free speech because you have nothing to say. So some pretty good stuff going on in the privacy front. Now, at the same time, where did I see it? Do I have it stacked here? Well, there's going to be an article a little later in the show. I should have had it queued up here that talks about more GDPR stuff and what companies are going to be doing. Specifically, well, let me just tell you now, Apple is announced that they're going to give you the ability to download everything they know about you as well as part of its GDPR compliance that it has to put forth as well. So I'm telling you, this GDPR stuff is going to change everything in America. We're going to get some of the same privacy stuff people in the UK do by proxy. All right, switching gears completely here. Younger UK viewers, it is being reported, watch more Netflix than all of BBC TV. In its 2018 annual plan, the broadcaster has acknowledged that young people 16 to 24 in the UK are spending more time watching Netflix than all the BBC's programming combined, including iPlayers, not just TV that the BBC is losing out on, but audio too. As the company states for the first time in October and December 2017, they estimate 15 to 34 listen more to streaming music than all BBC radio, 5 hours versus 4 hours and 30 minutes a week. This is part of the stuff I've been talking about at PowerPressPodcast.com. It's time for radio to fight for their survival by preparing for the onslaught and the drop of people listening to their content, because this age group's going to get older and they're not going back. So it's happening in the UK too, and the BBC's admitting it. Amazon, for some reason, the president is, I know why the president's after Amazon. And he thinks, and it's interesting, that he's taking the fight to them over state and local taxes. He's basically saying via Twitter that the online retailer pays little or no taxes, state and local governments. And his comments come a day after a report said he was obsessed with Amazon. And of course, the company shares took a hit on that. And of course, several states say Amazon and other online retailers should have to collect sales tax. Now, that's going to go to the Supreme Court here directly. There's going to be an argument of basically where they're going to have to defend that basically anything that Amazon sells that they have in stock on their own and not through another company, for most states, they don't charge any sales tax and they don't pay any sales tax to those states. Meanwhile, people like me are buying a lot of stuff from Amazon and my state's not getting paid on some stuff. So we'll see what happens here. And of course, we know the Supreme Court ruled in 1992 that states couldn't collect sales taxes gathered by mail order catalog companies unless the firm had a physical presence. Now, states are saying this needs to change, considering that they're killing off a lot of retail business, just like Walmart did. And, but apparently the president wants to go after the e-commerce giant, citing five sources, and it's some antitrust stuff. So we'll see what happens here. They say that Amazon's business is one of the things keeping the USPS afloat. And but the USPS negotiated a real cheap deal with them. So they're not even paying what you and I pay to ship stuff via the Postal Service. And of course, the Postal Service crisis is ongoing continually. And they have $63 billion in cumulative net losses since 2007. So we'll see what happens here. More targets. On the space side, NASA astronauts have knocked out the 100th spacewalk by space station crews. So two U.S. astronauts worked outside the International Space Station today for about 6.5 hours. They each went opposite ways when they came out of the airlock and did a variety of tasks. And I'll have the link up in the show notes if you're interested in that. Those of you that are Android users, Google Play audiobooks have finally gotten bookmarks, Smart Resume, and more. So you're going to be able to pause an audiobook in the middle of a sentence and then resume your playback a couple of minutes later is used to be a jarring experience, but with Smart Resume, your audiobook will automatically go back to the beginning of a sentence. So the transition process back in the story is much, much better. I do that with books. If I'm reading a book and I get to it, of course, I use a Kindle. Next time I open it up, I flip back a page and I reread the previous page to get engaged. They're also helping to change playback speeds. And also, Google's expanding its family library feature to 13 additional countries, including Germany, Russia, Spain, Mexico, and adding audiobooks as an option for Google Home's new routine feature. So this starts rolling out to Android users today. The company Red, beautiful cameras, absolutely incredible. They revealed a 5K camera sensor that, well, they talked about this before. They designed five of these for outer space, and we think Elon Musk bought them. But the Gemini dual ISO sensor is now available for $24,500. And this is a pretty epic sensor in its specs. But if you do any shooting in any of these resolutions, if you're a photog, videographer, this is going to be some exciting new gear, but out of the price range for most of us. Do you like Tetris? Well, if you like Tetris on the Mac OS, there is a way to play Tetris. And apparently you couldn't find this. There was a reporter. They couldn't find anything. But yes, there is the way to play Tetris in a terminal window. If you really have to play Tetris, you can do it. And they give us some instructions on how to do that on Lifehacker. To be honest with you, I don't have a spare minute in the day to even consider playing a game. yeah, here's the article I was going to talk about, but I already talked about it. Apple's going to roll out new privacy features to comply with the EU rules. Again, GDPR, and they're going to get copies of your data and deactivate your account. So they're hoping to make it easier for you to manage your privacy over there. Link will be in the show notes. How many of you have got a car that's got CarPlay? If you do, lucky, lucky you. I'm sure many of you are familiar that, of course, there is a podcast app in the CarPlay. But some aftermarket radios that you would stick in your vehicle, you can either do Android or the iOS. But I tell you, I kind of like Apple CarPlay. I wish my car had it. But they talk about the 10 most popular is maps, phone, messages, music, podcast, iBook, interesting or not, iHeartRadio, hiss, WhatsApp, Spotify, and NPR One. So at least 8 of those 10 things I like. I'm not an NPR fan whatsoever. I don't know. I've just never been able to get into their breathy content. You know, I really didn't follow this too much. And maybe we talked about it a little bit on the show, but there's an article over on MeekYusuf.com asking, is Edward Snowden's Haven, which is an Haven, a security app or the ultimate spy tool? And if you've got a old Android phone laying around, and I do, I have a couple, and I'm going to go dig one out and get it charged up. I'm going to slick it, and then I'm going to load Haven on there and play with this a little bit. The app uses all the following smartphone sensor technologies: camera, accelerometer, microphone, light, and power. And it basically acts as a security system in your home. You can put it in like your bedroom, and you can install the app, and it will record noises, and if it detects movement or light changes. It's got all kinds of crazy features that is actually stored to the phone. And then you can go back and look later, and it will send you alerts to your current phone as well. So have any of you set up Haven on and don't set up Haven, please listen. Do not set up Haven on your regular Android, one that you carry every day. This is a very bad idea. Okay, so if you've got an old Android laying around device, this might be something to play with a little bit. According to Ars Technica, Cruz self-driving car got a traffic ticket. General Motors says it did nothing wrong. Cruz says his car never came within 10 feet of a pedestrian. Their sensor said that it was 10.8 feet away from the car. But a California Highway Patrol pulled the vehicle over and gave it a ticket for being apparently too close to the vehicle. So I'm sure Cruz is going to end up in court and they're going to show their scientific data. But California law requires that a vehicle yield the right-of-way to pedestrians, allowing them to proceed undisturbed and unhurried without fear of interference for the safe passage through an intersection. In Hawaii, if someone enters the intersection, and let's say they enter from the right, and I don't know how it is in your state, but the law here is, if they enter from the right and they cross in front of you, once they get past you, you cannot go. You have to wait until they get all the way across onto the opposing sidewalk before you're allowed to move. Because what happens is you trigger the other cars in the other lane to move, which potentially can cause someone to get hit. So I don't know if that's the same case in most states, but at least here, that's the law. Once they enter the crosswalk, you've stopped for them. You have to wait till they get all the way across before you move. But GM is saying that the cop, of course, uses his judgment. He eyeballs it, says, they were too close. They're going to get a ticket. And how is a police officer to be able to tell the difference between 10 feet and 10.8 feet, to be honest with you? All right, how many of you have heard the wise tale that cracking your knuckles makes your knuckles get bigger? How many of you have heard that? I've heard that since I was a child. When I was a child, if I cracked my knuckles and I was around my grandmother, she would break out a ruler and bust that over my hand. And for even to this day, I do not crack my knuckles. Now, my son drives me crazy. I should have been beating him with a ruler for cracking his knuckles. He likes to crack his knuckles. I don't. I just don't do it. On a rare occasion, if my finger, like a feeling that my finger jammed or something, I'll crack a knuckle, but it's rare. I don't do it like some people do it religiously on the fly. Well, did you know that there was a study done? One guy was only cracked one side of his hand and not the other for like 80 years. And there wasn't a difference in arthritis or anything over time. So I thought this was kind of curious, but they think they figured out what's going on. When you pull the finger, it's not the joint popping, it's an air bubble. I always thought it was like a nitrogen bubble or, you know, some sort of wisetail, but it's some sort of bubble inside the fluid that's called the synovial fluid. And when you change that pressure, it increases the space and releases some gases in the fluid and can nucleate into a, I like to use that word, nucleate, nuke, you're nuking your knuckles. And so some researchers have suggested it is a collapse of such a form of carbon dioxide and other gases. So anyway, I'm still not going to crack my knuckles. And if you do, stop. It's like tapping your foot. When you're tapping your foot, do you know what that means? You're not making any money. The person that taps their foot all the time is not making any money. That's a Japanese wise tale. But anyway. Hey, at the CES show, we interviewed, I interviewed, the company behind a smart wine aerator. And it was the first time in all the years that I went to CES that I actually drank a little wine. Now, I don't think I drank it on camera. I did before we went on camera. They were a little bit, worried about, I think they were just a little worried about the rules on that. But anyway, I tasted the wine with this prototype and could distinctly tell the difference. Now, I am not a wine snob in the least, and not at all. You know, I get a bottle of whatever, and I get it home. It either tastes good or it doesn't. I don't try to say it's got this fruity flavor with nutmeg, and that's not me, okay? If it tastes good, it tastes good. I you know, that's just how it is. But, you know, I know you're supposed to let your wine breathe, and there's, you know, some of you that drink wine, you decanter your wine, and it has to set so much time, and blah, 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 blah. Well, they've launched the campaign to crowdfund its aerator on Indiegogo. The campaign launched yesterday has already surpassed 30,000 goal. Depending on her early back, you may be able to get an aerator for somewhere under $200. Avion plans to sell them for $249, and it tends to start deliveries around September. So if you saw the video on Geek News Central, you know I told you there was definitely a different taste. It was discernible to me. I really can't describe if one was 100% better than the other. But if you're a wino, you may want to get in on this Indiegogo. Notes will be, stuff will be up in the show notes, all right? Oh my God, I'm only halfway through stuff and we're already at 56 minutes. I'm not going to make it today. Google Map now supports 39 more languages. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. SpaceX has a busy weekend ahead of it. They're doing two launches. They're doing one on Saturday, then one on Monday. So they're actually doing one on Friday, and then they're doing one on Monday. So they've got a busy, busy, busy weekend. So I don't know what time the launch goes down tomorrow, but if you're off for Good Friday, you'll be able to watch the launch. Also, there's a spacecraft that's being prepped for a July launch. It's called the Parker Solar Probe. It's going to go out and look at the sun. It's going to get pretty close to the sun. So there's a good article on the tech on this. And here's the insanity. They say that this satellite has to be aligned so perfectly looking at the sun with a error of 1 degree or more, it will fry the back of the set of the satellite. So they have to be perfect. They can't be off more than, you know, a degree is the margin of error in being able to protect the spacecraft. To me, that's like, wow. They actually say when they're lined up correctly with this heat shield facing the sun, that they have faith that the rest of the instruments are going to be cold. So cold, in fact, that they've got radiators to be able to heat them up because they're afraid that it's going to not be warm enough based on where they're going to be in space. I thought that was insane. So 1 degree difference between being frozen or you know, basically cooking the satellite. Those of you that have basically motorhomes or trailers or something like that, there's something called a trailer valet. This thing looks awesome. The trailer valet is a remote controlled car. It basically will move around your trailer. You basically hook it to your hitch and you can move a trailer and stuff around without hooking it to a vehicle. It only costs you about $4,100 for one, but pretty slick. If you've got a business that's moving a lot of trailers and storage units and so forth, this might be the exact ticket for you, but very cool robot to move stuff around. Automakers are teaming up with a number of states to get Americans to buy more electric cars. You know, all the manufacturers are ramping up their car business, but yet in America, we've only had soft sales of vehicles, electric vehicles up to this point. And we all love our gas and be able to go. There's, you know, only 2% of the 17 million total vehicles sold over the course of the year were EVs. So with as many EVs coming to market, they need more charging stations. You can't charge. It's impossible in Hawaii to charge anywhere anymore. The chargers are always full. So they fixed that. That might encourage people to buy more electric cars. Also, over on The Verge, they've got something that's very, very cool. It's a company called Festo. They have a history of making kooky robotic versions of wildlife, and they've just made a spider, and it is crazy. I'm just going to tell you, this is the video of the day to watch. You're going to trip out. You really, really are. A link will be up in the show notes on this. It's crazy, 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 crazy. All right, we've talked enough about Cambridge Analytica today. I've got an article from The Verge talking about hasn't deleted Facebook user data as promised. That'll be in the show notes. I'm not going to go any deeper than that. Not surprisingly, Facebook is speeding up its process to fight fake news. So that's in the news today. So, you know, Facebook is really trying to make things go. But at the same time, Richard Branson is basically saying that government regulation of Facebook makes sense. And he says, obviously, best companies can regulate themselves, but apparently they haven't. And so he's just basically looking for them to restrict Facebook's and other companies' ability to use customer data. And he made this comment at the Yahoo Finance, told Yahoo Finance during an interview on Wednesday at the Adobe Summit held in Las Vegas. So more cries for basically regulating them. All right, there's a little bit of poll out. The Amazon Echo still dominates the smart speaker market by holding 31%, followed by Google Home at 27%. The Amazon Echo at 31%, Amazon Echo Dot at 27%, Google Home at 16%, Google Home Mini at 12%, Sonos One at 4%, the Amazon Echo Plus at 3%. Nowhere on the list is any Microsoft device. That's amazing. They're not even breaking 1%, but Amazon is largely king, and people are using them to play music, play podcasts. That's 19%. Set a timer. How many of you listen to this show via the smart speaker? Please tell me. Please, please, please. I need to look at the stats and I can tell that exactly. I'll let you know. I don't check my podcast stats much anymore. Check the weather, look up information, add appointment to calendar. I never use that. Call someone. I've done that. Never use it to purchase items online. I have asked the devices to tell jokes. Never ordered food. Never ordered car service. So mostly listen to music, podcasts, or books. That kind of makes sense to me. You love Mustang? Well, the 2019 Ford Mustang Bullitt will cost you $47,495. The limited edition is going to pack 480 horsepowers with a $900 destination fee. Fantastic. It's going to get 8 miles to the gallon. So you might be able to afford the car. You may not be able to afford the gas that goes in with it. But that 480 horsepower puts out 420 pound-feet of torque. And it'll go 163 miles per hour. Oh, yeah. Oh, here's the article about Comcast. Comcast is saying they're going to support ban on paid prioritization with an exception. They want an exception for specialized service. specialized service. They basically, they want some exceptions so that they can run specialized service. In other words, they're just trying to change the wording. Galaxy Note 9 is going to be launched as early as July for those of you that are fans. Also, if you're outside of the United States and if you are coming into the country, a proposed State Department form would require all U.S. visa applicants to disclose their social media handles. This is according to a Bloomberg report. The requirement is significantly broader than the previous filings, which had made disclosures voluntary and applied only to a portion of visa application identified by extra scrutiny. The public has 60 days to comment. The new forms will list specific social media platforms that require applicants to provide any identifiers used by applicants for those platforms during the 5 years preceding. You just wait. Before we can go to some countries, those of us in the U.S. are going to be asked to give up our social media information as well. British Telecom is going to be lowering landline rentals by 37%. But here's the catch. You can't have any other internet. If you are internetless, you have no internet from any provider, you can get the discount from 18.99 pounds to 11.99 pounds. But again, only if you don't have internet with anyone else. How can they do that? How can they say if you have internet with anyone, you don't get the lower price? How do they know? Is that data? I thought that everyone's supposed to have privacy and British Telecom shouldn't know what you have with other companies. A little odd. Uber has settled to avoid a legal battle with the family of the autonomous victim, vehicle victim. So they have wrote a check, and the family has nothing more to say. So they knew where they were at on that one. And that happened very, very quickly. So they must have came in with a major amount of money. But they've had enough negative news. They don't want any more. Hey, GoPro 199 Hero action camera is meant for newcomers. This Hero replaces the Session as an entry-level GoPro. I've got a new GoPro here. I'll talk about it on the next show. Very excited to test it. It's the one that does the 360 video. I think you're going to be excited. We got some stuff planned. But this 199 Hero action is available. There's no 4K on this, but to be honest with you, most of the time you don't need 4K. But there's a lot of cameras out there now, so don't be afraid to shop around for camera. Verizon's going to be launching a Palm smartphone this year. Yes, one with a QWERTY key on it. Crazy as it sounds. So that's coming. For those of you that like an old BlackBerry type handset, that's forthcoming here. Also, Amazon may offer checking accounts for teens. What they're finding is that teens are having a hard time buying stuff on Amazon. So they want to offer checking accounts to teenagers. That's the reason they want to get in the banking business. All right. So they're going to give them a banking account with a card. Is the parents still have to fund that unless they have a job? So I don't know if this helps them much, but they're looking at it. HBO has released the new Westworld 2 trailer, and there are a huge number of this is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I cannot wait for Westworld 2. You know, April 22nd is when it's going to drop. We're not going to have much more time. April 22nd is the premiere of, I'm going to be on travel, but I am going to make sure that I get to see Westworld. I cannot wait. This is going to be one of my it is already one of my most favorite series. You like luxury vehicles? Can you afford a luxury vehicle? We're talking like $90,000 worth of luxury vehicle. The Jaguar all-electric I-Pace. Some more hints out on that. And you can definitely check it out. There's a video. So looks like a pretty sweet vehicle. Again, nice Jags. Jags are always nice. Gotta love a Jaguar. All right, I'm trying to get through the rest of the content here. Apple Music put all of its music videos in one place. So if you upgraded your phone to 11.3, which was released today, or if you haven't, if you do, definitely check out Apple Music. You'll be able to watch music videos. Also, Twitter's made it easy to share the best parts of live video. You can actually clip something and share something from live. I want to test this with an actual recorded video, see if it does anything as well. But anyway, that has been announced by Twitter. Apple's also pushed a modest but handy update to Watch OS, TV OS, and the HomePod. So be aware of that. Yesterday, during my workout, my Apple Watch, I couldn't unlock it. It, for some reason, something happened. I had to factory reset it yesterday. That's the first time that's ever happened to me. My wife claims I forgot the password, but I couldn't even unlock it with my iPhone. So something screwy happened. Also, with iOS 11.3, Apple now lets you access medical records in Health app. Whoa. So they're working with Stanford, Westover Hills, VUMNC, Duke, Carroll Hospital, a bunch of different providers. So there's 40 health institutions across the U.S. listed. You can view your records after updating to 11.3. So, yeah, what do you think about accessing your medical records with your mobile phone? I didn't think I can access my medical records with my computer yet. You know, the military TRICARE system sucks from a record standpoint. You want a record, you got to go get one printed. I don't know. I will see if it has digital. I don't think so. Also, you ever have iCloud problems? Well, I've got a tutorial to help you if you've got syncing issues or if you can't connect or stuff like that, or the app is not saving in iCloud, all kinds of little tools and tricks and tips to help you get through your day and using iCloud. Okay, a couple of things here real quick at the end of the show. Anchor Soundbuds, slim and Bluetooth headphones, just $22. I'm a big Anchor fan. I'm sure these are awesome. I haven't ordered these, but everything that I've tested and used from Anchor has been really, really nice. So if you're looking for some cheap headphones that you're not worried about destroying, $22. Also, and Kirk, I don't know why you picked this one, but you want to make your pre-cooked ham taste amazing? There's an article on that. That one is a little out there, Kirk. Also, there's a lens cleaner that keeps your camera spotless for under $5. And I've used these guys' products before. It's from Lens Pens. Pretty decent. And you use a carbon type of cleaning. It's, you know, I'm mixed reactions on this, but they're $5. $4.89 is the cost. There's a 43% discount. So if you want to give it a try, Lens Pens is something that I've used here. Also, 10 do-it-yourself space projects you can build yourself. Some of it requires your backyard or garage or, but anyway, some cool little projects you can build. So if you want to do some stuff yourself and start a little project. Also, if you are looking to have a burner phone, there's a deal. You can use Boost Mobile by bringing your own device and get a free month of unlimited data. So if you're thinking about doing a pay-as-you-go plan, this might be a consideration. I can't remember which network Boost is on, if it uses AT&T or Sprint. But anyway, basically bring your own phone. You can sign up for $50 and get a free month. Final article today, AT&T is pushing Android 8.0 update to LG version V30. So if you have an Android LG V30, you're going to get the 8.0 update. So I'm a little bit long. So I've already went through the email at the beginning of the show that from folks that wanted to share. If you want to share, please email me, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. I made it through here with energy to spare. I'm sure my energy drink will crash me here in a few minutes, but thanks for hanging out for the extra time on the show today. I definitely appreciate it. I've been getting a lot of comments. You guys have been saying, you know, nice things on Twitter and Facebook about me. You've been liking the latest shows. Thank you. I'm glad I'm hitting a nerve here. And, you know, did you look at where we're at? We're 1270. So a couple months, we're going to be at 1300. So I'm excited about that. All right. Hey, we'll be back with you on Monday, same time. And of course, same release time as always, if you're listening on demand, as the high 99.999% of you are. If you've joined me today on watching live, thanks for being here. Thank you for your comments. And again, thank you for your support of the sponsors. I greatly appreciate it. I'll see you on Monday. Everyone take care. Have a great Easter weekend. Have a good time with the family. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.